from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
This broadcast includes selected portions of our Pentecost service last Sunday. It is led by our interim minister, Reverend Gene Maul, who talks about the power is on. Of course, Pentecost is when the power of the Holy Spirit came. Our anthem is by our senior choir entitled Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
All elders and youth, come and worship.
All
you saints, all you sinners,
come and worship.
Wise counselors, teachers, parents, and all of authority, you who think deep thoughts, all of you who have simple faith, like a child's, come and worship. Come
and worship.
All you whose spirits are red with the power of the Holy Spirit,
come and worship. Alleluia. Alleluia. We praise God with one voice, one body, one church, one mind, one spirit. We are shining red with the power of our Holy Spirit.
Our scripture readings are from Acts and 1 Corinthians. It's led by Beth Damp. Also participating in the reading are Gladys Maul, Norman Roback, and Becky Snyder.
Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The day of Pentecost has come, and the disciples of Jesus are all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven comes a sound like the rush of a violent wind. Everyone help us out. Make wind sounds for us. Either rub your hands together or make some. And the sound like wind fills the entire house where they are sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appear among them, and a tongue rests on each of them. All of them are filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in other languages as the Spirit enables them. Now, there are devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. At this sound, the crowd gathers, and they are bewildered because each one hears them speaking in the native language of each. They are amazed and astonished.
Are not all these who are speaking from Galilee? Now listen that we hear, each of us in our own language, Judea and Greeks, residents of Iraq and Samaria and Lebanon, from Turkey, Jordan and Egypt, even Libya and Crete, and visitors from Rome, and Jews and proselytes, and Arabs and Germans and English and Missourians. In our own language, we hear God speaking about God's deeds of power.
All are amazed and perplexed.
What does this mean?
But others sneer and say,
they are filled with new wine.
But Peter, standing with the 11, raises his voice and addresses them.
People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning.
Actually, Peter, the clock says 10:45.
Well, close enough. Still, too early to be drunk. No. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
And Peter tells them many, many more things about the prophets, King David and Jesus.
Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus, whom you crucified.
Now, when they hear this, they are cut to the heart. They say to Peter and to the other apostles,
brothers, what should we do?
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom God calls.
And Peter testifies with many other arguments and exhorts them, saying,
save yourselves from this corrupt generation.
So those who welcome Peter's message are baptized. That day about 3,000 people were added. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the sharing in prayers. Here ends the reading. Thank you for listening to our amazing Pentecost story. May God bless us all with the understanding in our own language. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of the mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, belonging to the Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and on my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on my name of the Lord shall be saved." Here ends the first reading. Let us now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Reading verses 3 through 13. "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever said Jesus is cursed, and no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit of the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by one Spirit. And to the other the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and to all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." Here ends our second reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our community here in which we live is really a part of rural America. And I am sure that there are still some people here this morning who may relate to the time when you had no electricity in your homes. None of the homes until REA, they would say, or the 1940s or so, some homes even later than that. People waited with excitement. Relay stations were built, poles went up, wires were strung, and many homes went ahead and prepared themselves for the time when the power would be turned on. I remember well when my Uncle Mel, who was an electrician, came to our home and rewired it for the time when this would happen. Well, there was a certain elderly man who was sitting in his living room. He was all ready for it, and he looked at his light fixture. And suddenly, one day, the light was on. And the room was so brilliantly lighted, more so than in his whole life. And he ran out into the street and he shouted the good news from the top of his lungs. The power is on! The power is on! And today at Pentecost, the message of Pentecost is that miracle. The power is on! The power is on! And it's turned on by a powerful spirit. Indeed. God has turned on the power. And the whole scene speaks of power. The wind that you made, the tongues as a fire that the children helped show, the amazed people all telling the power is on. People hearing in their own languages. Some were amazed, but others said they're filled with new wine. Tipsy at best, or they're saying foolish things. Oh no, Peter says, the time has come for the Spirit to be poured out, for indeed the power is on. The difference was that the Holy Spirit now was present to give the people the power of the resurrection, this new life, these new words that would come alive, and the Holy Spirit will now go with them and be in them. Now the disciples realize the fullness of the meaning of the Holy Spirit. Contrast this to the upper room at resurrection time that was in our gospel for today. They were filled with fear. Jesus says to them, peace. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now comes Pentecost 50 days later. No longer are they just in the upper room. Now in a public way, they are an empowering way this Holy Spirit is given, and fear just seems to be removed. They speak boldly and 3,000 are baptized. The church is born. Pentecost brings the people of one accord. It's an example, you know, like an orchestra. You know, they tune up their instruments before a performance, and all you hear are a bunch of squeaks and squawks out there, pure noise, and then all of a sudden the conductor comes in and amazing things happen. The group becomes an orchestra, a unit, a group of people working together, and they produce music of beauty and power. Well, when we are Spirit-filled, we experience that kind of unity. So, no longer do we need to take a step as an individual or even as a church, a congregation here in California, without that Holy Spirit. That Spirit fills us with comfort and strength and power to go on. And it is the same Spirit that calls us to servanthood. In that gospel it said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. The Spirit empowers us to be, to do, to go, to act. There's power here for further purpose. You have been graced. Now, therefore, go and spread that grace to others. In that second reading from 1 Corinthians, there's a real triple header in there that you may have noticed. There are varieties of gifts, there are varieties of service, and there are varieties of workings or activities, but by the same Spirit. Gifts would be our abilities that we have collectively. Not all alike, but collectively. Service would be the ways in which we can serve other people. And our activities really are all the possibilities for action to happen. All of this calls us into action then. The potential is here, and probably as we look around this room, there are unused gifts right here. Sort of like an iceberg. You only see a small part of the potential. The best is underneath, waiting to come up. So we say at times, me? Do I have anything to share? Me? Look in the mirror. You might find it. And all of these gifts we have are given by that same Spirit, as it says, for the common good. Well, we could lean on the choir here this morning. You know, in this one church, there was normally splendid choir, and they sounded absolutely dreadful that day. The director was up with flat-footed steps and took that stand and set it down and punched it down, and before she could raise her arms, the organist came out with a wah on the organ and then started playing a little bit, no rhythm to it at all. And the choir members got to their feet, one here, one there, all in disarray. Some were slow, some would fiddle with the music. Some would mutter a few notes, all off key. And after a while, the organist just quit playing and shuffled off. And then one soprano went, amen, and they all sat down. You know, that was it. Well, then the director came back out with a twinkle in the eye. Now, she said to the distressed congregation, you see what happens when we forget that all of our individual gifts are to be used for the common good. And they began conducting, and the choir rose in perfect unison and blended voices and offered a beautiful anthem of praise like we heard this morning. See? And so it can be here with all of our gifts as we use them for the common good. There was a Sunday school class that once talked about Jesus choosing his disciples. And one said, well, Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were all fishermen. Could he not find some people with better qualifications? Or what about Matthew, that tax collector? They're just known for their dishonesty. Or why did he pick Judas? And others replied, we could say, some in that class said, well, why did Jesus pick you? Why did Jesus pick me? As the Father has sent me, so I send you. See? So the peace of Christ is ours, his gift to us. And this Holy Spirit breathes life into us and fills us to overflowing. And then we are sent out into the community and given our marching orders to leave these rooms that have been locked by fear. And we receive the Spirit that we might, by word and deed, tell others that Christ is alive, sins are forgiven, and death has met its match. Well, we have work to do being a church, but first we say, come to the table of the Lord, receive food for the journey, come to the feast, and then go wherever that Spirit sends you and breathe the life of God into people who may still live in fear. Let's light up the world with our gifts, our services, and our activities. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.